The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you highlights from the newest fall AFB newsletter. Discovery Zone will be meeting October 8th for a series of webinars. There are digital Zoom guides available from Zoom online. Virginia's e-ballots will be accessible to the visually impaired, posted by the Washington Post. Digital accessibility lawsuits are on the rise in new sectors from AudioEye.com. A biography of Noah Long from ncpressrelease.org. Blind Abilities discusses iOS 14. Viz Abilities discusses senior guide dog users. Talking BP Monitor, If I Have Time, from Maxi Aids. We'll get started. The fall edition of the Focus on AFB newsletter is online. AFB, American Foundation for the Blind, expanding possibilities for people with vision loss. The American Foundation for the Blind is dedicated to promoting awareness of the latest research, resources, and news in the blindness field. Keep up to date on AFB's latest activities with our free quarterly newsletter, Focus on AFB. Recent issues are archived and available for your review and enjoyment. Developing technology that works for everyone. Founded by AFB in 2003, AFB Consulting offers a wide array of services to help organizations make their technology as user-friendly as possible for everyone. In fact, all of AFB Consulting's work revolves around a single mission, digital inclusion. Donor Corner. Grateful Grandfather has a long history of giving. MacArthur Darby has always believed in giving to causes he cares about. The 74-year-old who lives in Kentucky feels very fortunate that he is able not only to take care of himself, but to help others too. Studying how COVID-19 is affecting adults with vision loss. COVID-19 has forced the entire world to adjust the way we work and live, but the challenges are exacerbated for people who are blind or have low vision. AFB took the lead in analyzing the Flatten Inaccessibility Survey findings. We joined forces with 15 organizations and companies that share AFB's concern about the effects of COVID-19 on adults who are visually impaired in the United States. Tanner Gers, what does the world look like to you? Tanner Gers is the business development and sales lead for AFB Consulting, see cover story. And his journey to rewarding employment has been an interesting one. After losing his sight, he quickly gained new skills and landed a job almost immediately. But after being let go 4 years later, Gers learned just how challenging it can be for someone who is visually impaired to find a job. His name is spelled G-E-R-S. Get ready to commemorate 100 years of AFB. We're deeply proud of our history and many accomplishments since AFB's founding in 1921, and those 100 years of dedicated effort are only the beginning as we continue to create a world of no limits for people who are blind or visually impaired. We're preparing a very special virtual #AFB100 celebration, with more details to come as the programming is developed. But one thing is certain, these are events you will not want to miss. Learn more about AFB's efforts to create a world of no limits for people who are blind or visually impaired in the fall edition of Focus on AFB. We hope that you found this information helpful. Please consider making a donation today to support our free information, programs, and research. From Kenneth Seaman, Sr., SEMIEN.K@ATT.net. Welcome. You have entered the Discovery Zone. The American Council of the Blind of Texas, ACBT, and its Member Morale and Membership Committee presents the Discovery Series, which includes three sessions. Session 1, a book review featuring When You Can't Believe Your Eyes by Hannah Fairbairn. The Discovery Series is a follow-up to the Adjusting to Blindness session from the August 29, 2020, 42nd Annual ACB of Texas Conference and Convention. We are delivering on our promise to keep the conversation going. It all begins on Thursday, October 8, 2020, at 7 p.m. Central, from the comfort of your home on the Zoom Meetings platform. Use your landline phone, computer, smartphone, or tablet. Future sessions will be announced at a later date. how to participate, download, or purchase When You Can't Believe Your Eyes, Vision Loss and Personal Recovery by Hannah Fairbairn, DBC11619 on NLS Bard Talking Books. You may also visit Hannah's website for more options, www.whenyoucan'tbelieveyoureyes.com. Reading time, 6 hours, 44 minutes. Read by Judy Youll, JudyYull. A production of Perkins Library, Perkins School for the Blind. With a special emphasis on the challenges faced by seniors with failing vision, this highly practical how-to book focuses on practical, social, and personal recovery for adults who are losing their sight. Join the Zoom meeting, https://us02web.zoom.us/j/889-699-723-39, query PWD equals capital M, J, capital V, I, capital M, 1, capital Z, S, capital O, capital H, capital J, capital N, capital U, J, L, V, capital W, K, H, capital G, capital U, 0, capital F, H, capital Q, 3, capital F, capital J, capital Z, small z, 09. Meeting ID, 889-699-72339. Password, 356517. The one-tap telephone numbers are 1-346-248-7799 or, I'm sorry, that second number didn't print properly. The meeting ID is 889-699-72339. Passcode 256517. For additional questions, contact Kenneth Seaman Sr. at 409-866-5838 or send an email to seaman.k@att.net. That's seaman.k@att.net. We look forward to you joining in on the discussion or simply listen if you prefer. Free resources available to help navigate Zoom. Whether you're struggling to use Zoom or want to perfect your understanding of all its features, resources are available to help. The General Zoom Accessibility Guide, which provides a brief introduction to relevant keyboard shortcuts, is available at https://zoom.us/accessibility/FAQ. More details can be found in a series of online tutorials released by Perkins School for the Blind at www.perkins-elearning.org/technology/blog/zoom-101-basic-steps-using-zoom. David Goldfield, Blindness Assistive Technology Specialist, JAWS Certified 2019, www.davidgoldfield.org. From WashingtonPost.com, blind people are suing over their voting options. In Virginia, their action brought results. By Megan Flynn, MEAGANFLYNN. For vision-impaired voters in Virginia, there was no easy way to vote. They would either have to risk their health to vote in person or forgo voter privacy by asking someone to fill in the blanks on their mail-in ballot forms. You pretty much had to decide whether you wanted to vote independently or safely. You couldn't do both things, said Colleen Miller, director of the Disability Law Center of Virginia. Now, however, after the center and several other groups advocating for the blind filed a federal lawsuit, the Virginia Department of Elections has agreed to offer a new option. On Friday, U.S. District Judge Claude M. Hilton approved a consent decree between the state and blind voters who sued that will not blind voters who sued that will allow vision-impaired people to electronically receive mail-in ballots compatible with screen reader assistive technology. At polling places, such voters can request similar assistive technology that reads the ballot to them as they make selections. But at some places, the equipment is not readily available, Miller said, and voters have to wait or decide to get help from a poll worker instead. Now they won't need to ask for assistance from anyone, and like seeing voters, they won't have to leave home to fill out their ballots. The agreement applies only to the November 3rd election. It has never been a private vote for people with print disabilities, not during the COVID crisis or before the COVID crisis, Miller said. They've always had to count on somebody else to assist them. So for the first time ever, people with a vision impairment are going to be able to vote privately. According to a 2016 estimate by the National Federation of the Blind, more than 178,000 Virginians have reported a visual disability. Several of them, along with the National Federation of the Blind of Virginia and American Council of the Blind of Virginia, sued in July, alleging violations of the Americans with Disabilities Act. It is one of several lawsuits that advocates for the blind have filed nationwide, including in New York, Texas, and North Carolina, as millions of people across the country look to vote by mail during the coronavirus pandemic. In Virginia, the consent decree will allow any print-disabled voter to receive their ballot via email, a right typically reserved for military personnel overseas. The ballots still must be printed out and returned, either by mail or dropped off in person. The consent decree requires that the local registrar send visually impaired voters return envelopes with tactile markings to assist them, and instructs registrars not to reject ballots if the vision impaired voter's signature or address is written in the wrong spot. As Attorney General, I have a duty to make sure that every eligible Virginian, including those with disabilities, are able to exercise their right to vote, while also promoting health and safety, Attorney General Mark R. Herring, Democrat, said in a statement Friday. This agreement is another big win for democracy and for Virginia voters. Tracy Soforenko, president of the National Federation of the Blind of Virginia, said the consent decree is a major relief, especially for blind voters who live alone and would either have to ask someone for help filling out a traditional mail-in ballot or rely on public transit, increasing the risk of coronavirus exposure, to vote in person. You have to find someone to help you complete that ballot, and you have to trust that they'll adequately complete that ballot as you wish, Soforenko said. People have really strong opinions about voting. Your neighbor might not necessarily agree with you who you want to vote for. I wouldn't know that they completed my ballot accurately. That's not fair. That's not right. That's not the private, independent ballot that we are guaranteed. Sam Joel, J-O-E-H-L, president of the American Council of the Blind of Virginia, is among the blind Virginians who live alone. He said he had to ask a neighbor who lives in his building for help filling out his ballot, an experience he described as uncomfortable. But Joel cautioned that he considered himself one of the lucky ones. Other members risk their health to vote in person or go to a local elections office, he said. One was Regina Root, a 53-year-old professor of Hispanic Studies at William & Mary. Root has nystagmus, a condition that causes her eyes to move involuntarily and makes it extremely challenging to read. To me, the whole world feels like it is moving on a merry-go-round, she wrote in a declaration filed in court. Root, who developed the condition after brain surgery several years ago, said in an interview Monday that she and her husband went to their local registrar in June to fill out an absentee ballot for the Virginia primary because it was too late to send it through the email and through the mail. It was the first time Root had been out in months, she said, since she falls in a category of vulnerable people at risk of severe complications from the coronavirus. Her husband Michael had to fill out a form certifying that he would vote on Root's behalf since she could not read the form herself. I love Michael, but with a PhD, for as much as I've studied in my world, casting a vote independently and just being able to think through this on my own is really important, Root said. That's the right we all cherish. Virginia has until September 18 to make the electronic mail-in ballot available to vision-impaired voters for the general election. And a spokeswoman for the Virginia Department of Elections said the state is confident it will meet the deadline. The Department of Elections looks forward to educating voters on this option, incorporating it into our social media, website, and other public relation avenues, spokeswoman Jessica Bowman said. Miller and Joel said the consent decree does not mark the end of the fight to ensure accessible voting for the vision impaired, and Bowman said legislative action will be necessary for the changes to be permanent. The groups intend to press the state for long-term solutions after the November election, including to allow blind voters to return mail-in ballots via email, Joel said. From AudioEye.com, the risk of digital accessibility lawsuits is reaching new markets and sectors. Lawsuits against companies suspected of flouting the online accessibility requirements related to the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, are now a regular feature of courtrooms in the U.S. From 2017 to 2018, the number of cases surged, and they continue to increase throughout 2019. To help companies better understand the risk of litigation, we continuously track ADA-related proceedings. So, how is the picture changing as we progress into the year? Broader reach. Based on AudioEye tracking, footnote 1, 556 online accessibility ADA lawsuits were filed in the first quarter of 2020. That's an average of 8 new lawsuits filed each working day over this period. While the number of potential breaches of online accessibility legislation remains high, figures for 2020 reveal a 19% reduction in the total number of lawsuits compared with the first quarter of 2019. Even though the total number of lawsuits has fallen slightly, the risks are growing rapidly for companies in certain geographies and sectors. Figures for the first quarter of 2020 show that lawyers are increasingly suing companies in courts outside New York, Florida, and California, the three states that have seen the highest number of ADA-related lawsuits so far. Already, we are seeing more companies in heartland states face legal proceedings, and we expect this number to increase as lawyers look further afield for potential breaches of legislation. To put this into perspective, a total of 9 lawsuits were filed in Colorado throughout the whole of last year, compared to 14 in the first quarter of 2020. Similarly, the number of lawsuits filed in Pennsylvania during the first quarter of this year increased by 165% from the same time last year. Emerging patterns. As in previous years, businesses in the retail sector have seen the highest number of lawsuits compared with any other sector. In the first quarter of 2020, retail accounted for 60% of the total number of lawsuits. Restaurants and food services companies have faced the second highest number of lawsuits, with 15% of the total number of litigation proceedings for the first quarter of 2020 filed against businesses in this sector. So far this year, the number of lawsuits filed against restaurants has grown by 38% versus the same period in 2019. Clearly, restaurants and retailers still have a long way to go to deliver truly universally accessible services. Many businesses in these sectors have found it difficult to achieve full compliance due to the complex integration of the online and in-person experiences that they offer. Yet, with the right support and intuitive accessibility solutions, retailers and restaurants can overcome their website accessibility challenges. While retailers and restaurants are currently bearing the brunt of ADA-related litigation, companies in other sectors are not immune. In the first quarter of 2020, proceedings have been brought against organizations in the banking, entertainment, healthcare, education, travel, and services sectors. Our tracking also shows that 12% of lawsuits filed this year against companies in all sectors feature accessibility issues with native applications. Clearly, a significant proportion of companies are struggling to ensure that the accessibility of their websites is mirrored in mobile and other device-specific applications. Looking ahead, as we witnessed in 2019, some companies will face multiple lawsuits. This is often because companies have failed to enact accessibility changes to all of the websites in their business portfolio, or because a recent change in website design renders previously accessible content inaccessible. To avoid repeat court appearances and associated fees, companies should review the accessibility of their sites on an ongoing basis. If you want to avoid the growing legal risk of a non-compliant website, AudioEye can help. We offer fast and effective ADA compliance solutions that enable our clients to fend off lawsuits and legal demand letters from day one. Don't wait to be sued. Start your compliance journey with AudioEye today. Footnote 1. Throughout 2019 and 2020, AudioEye has tracked ADA Title II and Title III lawsuits as filed in the U.S. Federal District Courts and State Supreme and Superior Courts. This report considers all identified lawsuits as tracked by AudioEye staff. It does not include any calculation on the number of legal demand letters asserted by plaintiffs making claims of noncompliance. AudioEye does not guarantee the accuracy of this report, but has taken measures to track the details of the filed claims to the best of its ability given the resources available and the limited information supplied through the various sources associated with the publicly available information. From ncpressrelease.org, the two disabilities I have don't stop me. The inspiring story of Noah Long, posted September 2nd by Robert B. Butler. Dateline Raleigh, born completely blind and with cerebral palsy 27 years ago, Triangle native Noah Long is an inspiring role model, living independently, tech-savvy, well-spoken, and employed. Noah is the most positive person I know, said his father, David Long. At the age of 15, titanium rods were implanted on both sides of his spine, from his neck to his hips, said Noah's grandmother, Joy Boyette. After enduring multiple other surgeries, this was the only time I saw him cry. My mother, she's the one who mainly advocated for me when I was young, said Noah. But my grandparents, they're the ones who pushed me, especially my grandfather. Technology has been a big factor and equalizer in helping Noah cope with his blindness, said Grandfather Bruno Toffolo. If asked, he would probably tell you his only handicap might be a cerebral palsy, which affects his mobility and ability to do some tasks as he'd like. The technology exposure I received from Governor Moorhead School was central to moving forward, said Noah. They've put in digital learning platforms and have an IT consultant. Public schools weren't exposing me to the new equipment we now have. The school is crucial to the visually impaired population, with a core curriculum designed to teach blind students the skills they need to be independent and on their own. Governor Moorhead School helped me with socialization, advocating for myself, training in mobility, occupational therapy, and physical therapy. I could easily relate to the other students, knowing that we have the same kind of visual-based disability. Class sizes are smaller, and this means more time can be spent with each student learning what he or she needs. Gifted with a great voice, Noah served as a receptionist while attending Governor Moorhead School, and worked with Triangle Radio Reading Service on a variety of collaborations with the school. The original goal was to create an opportunity for students to do a radio broadcast, which later evolved into an actual course. I believe the program is now in its sixth year, said Noah. I'm now happily employed by Easter Seals United Cerebral Palsy. I'm responsible for answering phones, uploading documents to our residential service, creating consent forms in Microsoft Word, as well as using Microsoft Excel for tasks assigned by supervisors. The people I work with are amazed at the capabilities I have with the technology and the fact that I can do the work. Once we got my software installed onto my PC, they were like, whoa, he can take off. They saw my work in Excel. They didn't know a blind person could use Excel. I've been showing them the equipment that I use to read in Braille, what they're seeing on the computer screen. Noah has a great attitude, said Luann Welch, president and CEO of Easter Seals UCP, NC in Virginia. He has a passion for learning new things, and his big personality helps him connect with others and do his job well. I am truly inspired by Noah's journey, personal and professional, and excited for his future. He's an asset to any team, and I have no doubt he will achieve his career and life goals. My plan is to keep my job with Easter Seals UCP, said Noah. I work 3 days per week. Once I got this job, I was just happy. I don't want to sit at home every day. Being a social butterfly, I hate to be socially isolated. You know what I'm saying? I know I have physical limitations, but my primary gift is my voice. In addition to Easter Seals UCP, I'm hoping to connect with someone in the voiceover industry who can provide some guidance. I have the software and recording equipment at home and can easily send voice recordings to clients to put into their systems. Noah's dream job is to work in radio doing voiceovers, said Casey Corder, program manager for Easter Seals UCP. This would be a perfect job for him because he has the perfect radio voice. Outside of work, my goal is to find that special person to share my life with, said Noah. As Noah's mom, I hope he finds that special someone, said Lamar Scott. No one knows what life has in store for them. But for Noah, he is forging his own path and not letting anything get in his way. The two disabilities I have don't stop me, said Noah. I'm up for any challenge. I'm very tech-savvy and able to easily help people when things go wrong with a computer. Another strength I have is teaching various technologies for the blind and visually impaired. A lot of companies don't know how and feel like they can't accommodate someone with blindness and cerebral palsy. The best advice I can give to people with disabilities is to keep trying. Don't give up. For more information, contact Kathy Edgerton, Chief Communications Officer, Easter Seals, UCP, North Carolina and Virginia. Kathy.Edgerton, E-D-G-E-R-T-O-N, at EasterSealsUCP.com. Office phone 919-865-8660. Cell phone 919-208-0621. Interviewed by Robert B. Butler, Communications and Public Relations, Robert at rbbutler.com. I have only 3 minutes left, so I will save the blind abilities article on iOS 14 for next week. It's too long. And the visibilities meeting for senior guide dog users was last Thursday, so that event was passed. So on to the talking blood pressure monitor from Maxi Aids. Advanced talking blood pressure monitor, manufactured exclusively by Reizen, Inc., R-E-I-Z-E-N. Speaks English and Spanish. Includes fully automatic talking English-Spanish digital blood pressure monitor with built-in cuff holder. Adult arm cuff, easy to use, comes with instruction manual. 4 AA batteries included. 3-year warranty. This advanced fully automatic advanced talking blood pressure monitor has a built-in cuff holder. It's ultra slim with a modern display and design. Bright backlit LCD display, large display with large digits, 2 user modes, 180 total memories with date and time stamp, 90 memories for each user, irregular heartbeat arrhythmia detector, intelligent pressure control system, advanced averaging, date and time display, low battery indicator, auto off, built-in cuff storage holder, adult arm cuff, WHO classification, 3-year warranty, and can speak your blood pressure and pulse rate results in English or Spanish or set to mute. Uses the oscillometric method and intelligence pressure control system. It's on sale from Maxi Aids for $59.95 plus tax and shipping. Maxi Aids also offers the Reizen Talking Digital Thermometer. 8-second readout and large LCD digital display. Readings announced in English and Spanish in a clear voice. Ideal for blind and visually impaired. Clinically accurate for oral temperature in Fahrenheit and Celsius. Fever alarm when it reaches peak temperature. Display range 89.6 degrees Fahrenheit to 109.4 degrees Fahrenheit. Mercury-free, no glass, and FDA approved. Talking and large print thermometer designed to assist the user to monitor body temperature with ease. Hear or see the results with both the clear verbally announced readout. That retails for $13.95 on Maxi Aids. I've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to North Carolina Reading Service.